This episode is an interview with Owen Canary. So Owen is an ex-client in the Physical Freedom Program. In this episode, we go through his journey from chronic back pain, holding him back in hurling and life, all the way through to regaining his physical freedom. So this is going to be, it's a client spotlight episode. So basically what I do in the Physical Freedom Education Hub, every now and then I'll have a client spotlight where I'll interview a client who's come through the whole process and journey, interview them about their own journey, and what really helped them in it, like the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the whole blueprint of the journey with their experience of it. And I have that in there to inspire current clients on their own journey, and so that they can see what it's like behind the scenes, that there's no quick fix, no hack, that like show them really what it takes. So now that I was doing this new one with Owen, I said, I'm actually going to put this out publicly as a podcast as well, because people out there suffering from chronic pain and injury, this will be great for you as well. Like, it'll be very inspiring and educational to actually see behind the scenes. Like, what does it actually take to regain your physical freedom? Because as I'm saying, there's no quick fix or a hack here. But in this episode with Owen, you'll actually see, yeah, behind the scenes, behind the curtains of how he actually went from the before to the after, if you've checked out his testimony. So without any further ado, let's pop on to the episode now.
Hey guys, here I am with Owen. So Owen is an ex-client from the Physical Freedom Program. I've already done the little intro beforehand, but for here, I'm just going to run through some stats. So when we were going to set up this session, I have all the information from Owen at the start, which we actually read through a bit of it. We couldn't remember some of it, but it's good to pull up the stats. So Owen started in the program on 1st September 2022 and finished up on 5th of July 2023. So it was 11 months in the program. And I'm going to read out a few points that he sent me at the start. So when he was signing up, like, why was he actually starting the program, and then hand you over to Owen and let him pick it up from there. So when he reached out and I got him to fill out the doc starting up, I like to split things into body, mindset, and life. So you'll see that when we get into the program. It's kind of, you know, it's more to regaining your physical freedom than just doing a few exercises, as most people know if they're suffering from chronic pain. So on the body, he said he wants to be free from chronic pain, loves to be able to do hurling or go hiking without worrying about my lower back, being self-conscious about cracking the back and neck all the time. Wants to be able to wake up in the morning and have the ability to go about his day without having to ease and stretch into it. And he doesn't want to settle for his current movement limitations. So that was on the body. Mindset then, he wants to be accountable and build a strong, capable mindset to get rid of his movement limitations and pursue strength goals down the line. So he's been saying that for years, but now he actually wants to go do it. So he actually are doing that now recently. I can see on your rings doing that now, which is good.
Yeah.
And then on the life, he just said, yeah, when I'm 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, I still want to have my physical freedom. So it's even important to say there that when clients sign up, obviously, I don't know for sure. I have a good idea of who's going to be, you know, a good client, because even all the stuff Owen is saying there, it's the right stuff that I want to be hearing. Like, even he's using the words physical freedom, he's saying he wants to prioritize that now for even when he's older. So, like, I don't know if you realize that, Owen, I can already see you have a big long-term mindset with it there. It's not, oh, I have this back injury that I want to get over so I can play my next match. You know, it was already set up well from there. Obviously, I don't know exactly how it's going to go with coaching. I provide the value, the client extracts the value, so it's on them to get the most out of it. So I'll hand you over to Owen now. Owen will pick it up from there and he'll bring you on the journey up to where he is now.
Yeah, cheers, Mark. I think it was 4 years ago, nearly, that I first got lower back pain. It was during the pandemic. I was working from home, not exercising. Just going from the office desk to the couch, basically, for a month or two. And got into a really bad state with my back. Couldn't get going with exercise at all. Then the hurling started up again, and I really realized how bad I was. But I didn't do anything about it until about a year later, when I tried to sort things out myself. Followed a mobility program that I got off Coach Online, and sort of worked away at that, but wasn't really getting progress. I said to myself, I probably need someone one-to-one. So I've went to physios, consultants. They didn't help as much as I expected them to, which was quite disappointing. By one physio, I was told to do yoga, which I'd already tried. So that was quite disheartening at the time, you know. and been I was given like a couple of strength programs as well by other coaches. And looking back, the stuff in those programs that was prescribed was actually quite good, but I guess I didn't really have the why behind it. Like I wanted to understand why I was in pain, and nobody was telling me that. So I followed you sometime around then. I was probably after trying that program and it didn't work. And then I remember getting a message from you to say, have you any questions, or is there anything you can do to help? And I was like, kind of like, yeah, whatever. At the start. And then I think you messaged me again like months later. I'd say it was more than 6 months later. And I was following your journey on Instagram, and I looked at everything you did, and I was like, he is the real deal. Like, I think we'll get on well, first of all, and I think he can teach me a lot about pain and about mobility and strength. Like, you explained actually about mobility, strength, and coordination in a voice note in your DMs, and that was quite helpful. So I was like, I think I'll sign up. So signed up with you then in September 22, I think.
Yeah,
just before I was going traveling. So I went traveling for 7 months around South America and Asia. Had a great time, and one of the best things about that time was that I actually made huge strides in getting over my back pain. And I did all that like with full-time travel, sporadic gym access, and very busy weeks that I couldn't really do much, and I still manage it really well. Got great support off of you, of course. Had like we switched up the program multiple times, I think, based on my needs. And I think I finished up then about 11 months later. So I kept working with you after traveling and a bit into the in season for hurling. I really struggled with hurling for a couple of years. Like, I couldn't play at my best at all. Really, really frustrating, because I was just at 50% of the time, or 50% capacity all of the time. And then that summer I came back from traveling, it was like, I was like a totally different person. Like, I think like looking back on that year, I was probably didn't hit the heights that I thought I would in terms of performance, but in terms of how I felt on the pitch and the amount of work that I used to have to do to get ready for training and matches, that was reduced a ton. And yeah, it just made the whole year easier, more enjoyable. And yeah, I was in a much better place.
Yeah, that's unreal. And actually, as you were mentioning all that there, I forgot that we actually met in Bali.
Yeah, we did actually. Yeah, geez, I forgot
even,
that.
Yeah, so even during Owen's travels of the 7 months, I happened to be in Bali. We actually met in person there. Yeah.
Yeah. Had like a
I didn't think
3 or 4 hour meeting.
Sorry?
Had a 3 or 4 hour meeting in that
yeah,
restaurant.
Geez, yeah, we met in La Brisa. I think it was La Brisa. That kind of cool bar, but yeah, no, that was really, yeah, geez, totally forgot about that actually. But yeah, but that's cool. So we have the kind of like the start and the kind of end point of it there. But what we're going to do now is we'll pop into the kind of meat and potatoes of it. Like, how did that actually happen? Because look, I'm going to have this actually in the Physical Freedom Program section as well under Client Spotlight. So clients will be able to see this story from Owen and just get inspiration from it, of people coming through it. But it's also going to be a podcast too. So people who suffer from chronic pain and injury who aren't in the program, they'll be able to get a lot from it too. Because as we're going to get into, look, you hear the start points and then you hear the end points and you're like, yeah, that's great, but it's not really working out like that for me. Or as Owen said there, you try the healthcare route, you try different things and it's not really working. Yeah, you're going to see here that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. You know, there's ups and downs. There's lots of things that have to be done to be able to regain physical freedom and get back doing what you want to do. So we're going to dive into those now. Me and Owen have picked out a few points together that he wants to talk about. So to give you a bit of context for people outside the program, there's three pillars in the Physical Freedom Program. So I break it down into Resilient body, anti-fragile mindset, and authentic life. So basically, body, mindset, life, because as I said at the very start, like it's not just about a few exercises. Like that's why the program is much more around education, because I've been where Owen has been, trying to just get back to sport and trying a few exercises, feel a bit better, but it's not really working. And then you're confused. You think, is it my body? Maybe the diagnoses are correct and maybe I can't come back. So it's education is the key for a lot of this. So we'll go through a few points on the body, few points on the mindset around the two, and yeah, just around the life, as Owen had said there, like he was traveling and stuff as well. And a lot of people would think I can't do something like this, but yeah, it's not, it doesn't have to be an obstacle for you. So on the body, the first point that Owen wanted to talk about then that really helped him was li listening to his body and building a relationship with it. So yeah, what do you mean when you say that, Owen?
Yeah, I guess like at the very start, as I said, it kind of started in lockdown and I wasn't listening to my body at all. I was just totally ignoring it. Sometimes it is good to ignore it, but eventually you kind of have to get up off your arse and actually put in the work to make a change. So yeah, it comes back to doing the basics, I think. I wasn't eating well. I probably wasn't sleeping well, and I wasn't exercising at all, really, in that stage. But then, as I started to work with you, I got way better at listening to my body, knowing when to push hard, to make some good progress with the program, and when to pull back. And it's managing your schedule as well, your time and your energy. I listened to your podcast recently on time management versus energy management. I think it kind of comes back to that as well. Where if with energy management, like if you have a slot determined for your program, say on Tuesday night, and it comes down to it, and you're after having a shit day at work and you're wrecked, you're better off not, probably not doing that in most cases. You just have to listen to your body and say, is this the right decision right now? In other cases, obviously, you kind of have to push through and suck it up and actually just to make sure you're consistent with it. But I think the energy management was a big thing for me, and it kind of clicked to me when I was listening to that podcast recently that I got way better at doing at kind of managing that when I was traveling. Like if I had a like we had multiple 10-hour bus journeys up and down the country and crossing borders and all of this, and I knew that after a 10-hour bus journey I was going to be shagged, I was going to be really tired, and I probably would need a day off after that just to with some light movement, say with the light session that you would have prescribed, and just get that done as a non-negotiable, and then go away and enjoy myself and get back at it a couple of days later, things like that. It takes a bit of trial and error, I think. But building a relationship with your body, it's definitely worth getting better at, especially if you're in pain.
And even
Yeah.
what's you pretty much mentioned everything there. The only other thing I just want to kind of emphasize for people is why I have that as a section in the program is because that got me to realize, like similar to Owen, I'd gone the kind of healthcare route, it wasn't really working. I thought like you're kind of broken or fixed, like you're broken, can you fix me? So it's like broken, fixed kind of model. Whereas when you look at it like a relationship, you realize it's a long-term process for life. It's not like broken and fixed. They don't even make sense without like it's a relationship. So it's trying to say like, oh, I have a relationship with a person. Something bad happened on one day. Like it's broken. It can never be like it just does that make sense to you? Like that's the way I thought of it mentally. Like it's a big change.
When you say broken and fixed there, I used to think I was just broken and I was going to be like that forever. And the education is key, as you say. People need to understand that they won't be broken forever, and it is possible to make a change, and how adaptable the human body actually is. It's incredible, like the examples you told me really hammered at home as well with those people who adapted to
Oh,
The
the mock control. Yeah, I
underwater.
love, that's like my
Yeah,
favorite
stealth
example of
space.
it. Yeah, that I remember seeing that one. I was like,
I always remember that.
yeah.
And I'm like, if these guys can literally change how good they can see underwater, then I can surely get out of back pain. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that's, yeah, exactly. Go, they can see underwater and you can't move your hip a bit better or move your back a bit better. Yeah, it's.
But it like that it like the education is really important because I didn't get that through the healthcare, like the mainstream healthcare route. It was just all diagnoses and go do this program without actually telling you why it's going to help or why you're in pain in the first place. And it just gave me no confidence. And I walked out of those sessions thinking, and like questioning, will I be broken forever? When that's just not the case, you know?
Yeah, and then it's actually nicely into the second point there of you want to talk about pain, like what pain is and how to manage it, because you're the same as me. Like, it is kind of crazy when I think like the 10 years down the healthcare route, like what are you going to them for? It's like I'm in pain, but then as you're saying, we're not even actually taught what is pain, you know, which is, it sounds mad when I kind of just realized that one day. So that's a big part of the program is actually understanding what pain is and how to manage it, like we said there. So yeah, what do you want to say around that and what kind of helped you there?
Yeah, just something came to mind there as well that I went to a doctor years ago when I used to get back spasms when I was back in school, like around fifth and sixth year, and I got a really bad one that we actually had to call an ambulance. Like I couldn't move, I
Oh,
was
Jesus.
on the floor,
Oh.
couldn't move. Went to A&E, saw a doctor eventually, and he told me take a couple of pills, you'll be fine, but don't play hurling for 6 months. And I was just kind of laughing in his face because it happened before. Like I knew it was going to calm down eventually, but even from him, like I know like doctors in A&E are obviously under fierce pressure, but there was no explanation as to why I got the back spasm or what actually caused it. And it was like the example you give first, I think, is that it's a fire alarm going off, but there's just smoke, there's no actual fire. It's just a warning to like there's no damage present. Most of the time, obviously, there could be damage present, but like you hear of people going for MRIs and they get diagnosed with degenerative disc disease or things like this. And there's perfectly healthy people who have no pain also show up with the same symptoms. So, yeah, that's just, I don't think it's a great way of like managing people's pain, you know, or diagnosing someone anyway. But yeah, what pain is, the fire alarm analogy is good. The one that I actually like, I heard you talk recently about as well, is the driving instructor. Where it's like you're having a driving lesson and you start to veer off the road, so the driving instructor is going to pull up the handbrake. It's like a safety mechanism to protect you. Pain is just there to protect you, to keep you alive. If you're going to get eaten by a tiger, and you roll your ankle, you're going to roll your ankle. It's going to be sore, but it's going to be just sore enough so you can keep going to actually run away and stay alive, you know. But it does, it's not necessarily a sign of damage. And I think that was really important for me to understand that even though I've been diagnosed with bulging discs and other things, like I can actually overcome it. And once you've explained that to me, I probably didn't give a great example of those analogies, or I didn't explain them too well. But once you explained them to me, it gave me a lot of confidence that I could actually get out of it, you know.
Yeah, that was the kind of key for me as well. I suppose everything in the program is because that's what helped me to get through it. But you know now, obviously, that the education helps you understand it better, and then that leads into, we won't go into it now, I suppose we could go on for way too long, but the biopsychosocial model. So people can Google that or actually go onto my website, go into newsletters, you'll see what is pain and how to manage it there, or go to my YouTube and you'll see, I think it's like a 45-minute video explaining that. one of the most up-to-date models on pain, which is what I would have thought of one as well. So we know now that the fear mongering and thinking we're broken, that leads into the psychology side of that pain model, and thinking we're broken, and that can lead to more pain and tightness and stuff. So like that blew my mind, knowing that the way I think about my body, which is untrue, is massively affecting my chronic pain and my tightness and everything. But it's so liberating. That's the kind of way I describe it. So liberating when I found out that information that, yeah, pain doesn't mean you're fucked. People have, quote, loads of diagnoses for their back, and people go, like, you can have pain or not have pain. It's not a dead end.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and if, like, the way I think of it now, I'd probably explain it like this now. I just say it's just like an evolutionary signal, like hunger and thirst. That's probably a simpler way I'd say it now when I look back over it. The other examples I really like, but this is a simpler one of, yeah, it's like people go and saying, can you fix my pain? That's like, if you're a nutritionist, and I'm like, can you fix my hunger signal? I don't like it. It's not helping my life. Just turn it off forever. Like, people kind of laugh like that's stupid, but that's actually what we're doing for the pain. We just don't realize it, you know? So it's like, how do we manage the hunger signal? You get the right diet, you do the right things, so you manage it, and you only get it at the right times. Same for pain. That's the way I think of it now. It's like, we shouldn't be getting pain all the time sitting down or tying your shoes. It's only there to protect us. So yeah, we want to be able to manage it in the right way through education, through the program, and that we only get it when we're actually properly injured. So yeah, the pain is a huge one. I definitely recommend, yeah, diving more into that if you do have chronic pain. So then the last one you had there was how to manage progress, or sorry, how to measure progress. So that's kind of how it is when you go through the program. The way Owen has listed out, like, you need to learn to listen to your body. First of all, you have to create that relationship and start learning about it. Then you start to learn things like what is pain, what is tightness and all that. But then as you're progressing on, you need to know how to actually measure the progress, don't you? Because if I can remember myself, I kind of try, you know, throwing shit at the wall, really seeing what sticks, and there's no real structure to it or like logical kind of progression. So you can see, oh, if I keep doing X, I'll be at Y in a couple of months. So yeah, what did you want to say around that? How to measure your progress?
Yeah, it just comes down to objective progress versus subjective progress. So the way I think about it is, objective is something that you can actually, that's like tangible, that you can see written down. Say for example, you're doing a mobility program, like you can see objective progress by the amount of reps you're increasing every week, the load you're putting on the bar, like how deep you can get into a stretch, for example. It's stuff you can see. It's stuff other people can see as well, that they're like, if someone's observing our program, they're saying, geez, he's actually progressing, he must be getting better. Then subjective is the stuff you can't see, but it's probably more important, to me anyway. I think it's more important than the objective stuff. It's how, like, I just think of it as how I'm feeling. Like, I might not hit the same amount of reps as I did last session, but I can feel my back is better the next day, for example, or better straight after that session, or I can get into an exercise that bit better and find a stretch. It's like, I think it's actually way more important, because you can kind of, like, it's good to jot those things down, or else you'll forget them, because you can see the other stuff, like you can see how many reps are after hitting, but you might forget, like, oh, I've done a split squat here and can't remember the way I did it last time or whatever. But yeah, I said it there, that the way you're feeling the following day, I think, says a lot. And if you look back on that, on what you did yesterday, jot that down and take that forward then into the next session or the next week.
No, I definitely agree, because I think if we think of society, what do they prioritize or glorify? It's all the objective progress. You know, even think of Instagram, like, now look, I know my videos me doing splits, which is objective, but that doesn't mean that I won't have hip pain. Or that's what people would say, like, I'll get a message, oh, if I just get splits, does that mean I'll never have hip pain again? But that's, so people mightn't have those two words, as Owen said, like objective, subjective. The splits is just the objective, like, movement that I can do, or anyone can do, But the subjective is how you're feeling. And as you're saying, that's more important, because that's what I ask clients as well. Sometimes when I'm explaining this, it's like, okay, we'll take your example. You play hurling. Do you want to be able to do the splits, but you still have back pain playing hurling and you're limited? Or do you want to feel good in your body, be able to play hurling, but you can't do the splits? And obviously they'll go, well, yeah, I just,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, and to me, that's what physical freedom is. It's not this arbitrary movement that fucking looks cool. Like, so yeah, that's, you're dead right in what you're saying, is like, we don't, I didn't even realize that till I was making the program and thinking about these education modules. I'm like, yeah, the subjective progress is actually what you want. Like, it doesn't, the moves don't actually matter so much. You know, it's really like how you're feeling each day. Obviously, we know going through chronic pain, like, yeah, what's, if I can do the splits, but I have pain sitting down every day when I'm trying to work, like, you know, it's just, you're
right,
losing the
yeah.
bigger picture. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, but a better way to think about objective and subjective. So that was a few things on the body. Look, we've gone about that all day, but we'll move on to the anti-fragile mindset. So if people haven't heard of that, like, anti-fragile, it's coming from Taleb. So if you ever read like Black Swan, do you ever read those books? Actually, no, Black Swan or Fooled by Randomness. Maybe
I
not.
Tried to read it actually, but I couldn't really get into it. I think that it was quite heavy, but
yeah, so,
I'll
yeah,
have to revisit at some stage.
Just going to say, like, Black Swan is a bit easier, but yeah, it's very heavy stuff and it's kind of niche books. But anyways, I suppose the concept of being anti-fragile, I really liked. So I suppose that's when I was feeling broken like you. So I was starting to read things, which was the opposite kind of mentality. So yeah, anti-fragile is just like something that can't break, and anything bad that happens to it, it becomes a little bit stronger. And I was like, yep, that's the way I want to go with my mindset, with my body. So that's the mindset you have to have going through this journey, because as we're going to get into now as point one, progress is not always linear. And that's something that used to mess me up, because you go, maybe 3 weeks of progress, 4 weeks of progress, then you hit a wall and you go backwards and you're thinking, oh, maybe I am broken. Maybe what people are telling me, the diagnosis are true, etc. So yeah, talk to us about that one. The progress is not always linear. What do you mean when you're saying that?
Yeah, I guess when I was talking earlier about my traveling, and I was saying I was so much better afterwards, people might think that I was getting progressively better and better as I went along, but that's not really the case. Like, a good example is the stock chart, where day to day, like, it could go up and down, or week to week, it could go up and down a lot, but if you zoom out, it's always an upward trajectory, you know. And that's what your progress is. There's going to be days there that you will feel like shit, and you might even feel like giving up. You would say, what is the point in this after getting a setback or a flare up? But you just have to zoom out and look at the bigger picture, and keep that end goal in mind. You know, I always come back to the example of Vietnam, where we got off a long bus journey and I was feeling good. Like, I remember I was really good in Thailand, and we went to Vietnam and still pretty good, had a great time up the north. And then we came down to Hoi An, got off a bus, and I was probably a bit stressed, a bit sleep deprived looking back, and sat down at a reception to get to book into our room, and just got like the worst flare up I ever got along this whole journey, I'd say. And I was panicking in that moment. I was like, what is this? Like, why is this happening now after making so much progress? So I was pissed off for a day, maybe, yeah, probably a full day. And then I chatted to you. I remember we had a meeting the next day, I think, a catch up, and we talked a bit about it, and completely calmed me down and got me to zoom out. We probably talked about the stock chart there as well, and realized that this is just a minor setback. Like, you look back at this event and think that it wasn't even critical at all. And I do look back now and think, I remember how frustrated I was in the moment, but looking back now, I can zoom out and see that it was just a bit of a flare up. There was no real need to catastrophize. Obviously, you're going to be frustrated in the moment, but you can always come back from that and make more progress and get to your end goal. I started reading a book. I say I was so frustrated that I started researching more stuff about how to get out of pain, and I started reading a book called Healing Back Pain by John Sarno. I don't know, did you hear of him?
You told me about that. I remember chatting about that one. Yeah, no, I haven't read You were chatting about it.
Yeah, it's like he has like a diagnosis for it, but it kind of comes back to the mindset of it and how if you're like emotionally stressed, that can have a huge impact on pain, and it's not just physical. And that kind of it physically eased the pain for me thinking about that like I was stressed. I never liked long bus journeys. Now, like, over the course of 7 months, every bus journey was a little bit easier because I knew what to expect and I was making progress with the program. But I was stressed in that journey, and for whatever reason the flare-up happened, but it didn't mean there was more damage done to my back or to my body. And I could just treat it like a flu, as you say, and get like prioritize the basics again, get good sleep, get a good meal into me, hydrate properly. And the next, I'd say it took 2 or 3 days to calm down fully. And then I was back better than ever, you know? And I think that mindset shift was massive.
Yeah, it's funny because I still remember those kind of texts where even the few days after, as you said, you're like, I felt even better than before.
Yeah.
You know, like when you just think of that, and I've been there as well. That's how I know that's the case. Imagine if you dropped off there. You know what I mean? But like, and that's what people do. That's what happens to a lot of people, is like at that pivotal moment, which isn't going to be a big thing in hindsight, they drop off. And you know, and then they might see people like me or you who are kind of overcoming it and be like, I couldn't do that. It's just not true. Like, so it's a bit heartbreaking when you kind of see those stories.
I think you were saying that like it's you just get stuck in the roundabout of pain and injury. Mm. And it's so hard to get off then if you can't actually make that leap and get that little bit of education that can really help.
Yeah. And even I'll just zone in on one thing. I was going to bring it up, but you actually brought up the cold and the flu. Like, that's a quick thing now for people to listen to that. Well, you know, the analogies are great to help you learn things very quickly, because I get that of like, oh, I'm getting so much progress here, whatever. But now I've had my worst day. I actually feel worse than I did before I started the program. And I get the logic there. Like, this isn't working because I feel worse than I did before. But the cold and the flu one is great. Like, just think of when you get a chest infection or, like, you know, a smaller flu or a chest infection. Are you feeling better than you did last week? Or it could be the worst you've felt in a year. I maybe only get sick like once a year. So those, like, you know, and then does that mean all your progress is gone? Does that mean, like, you were benching 100 kg, now you're benching the bar? You know, like, the progress doesn't disappear. And, like, the flu, when people get that, because everyone's had a flu or a chest infection, they're like, oh, could be a few days, could be a week or two. And then you might have regressed a small bit and you pick it back up and you hit new heights and new heights, you know. So I wouldn't say that was great. Like, it's probably the most pivotal moment on the journey, really, isn't it? Because like, for everyone's journey, all the clients, if you're reading any of the reviews, probably not 99% of them have had these moments. I've had a few good few of those moments. You've had that was your kind of big one. Everyone has one of those big ones, and we have to have this chat. You know, that's the benefits of a coach. Like, I had a coach on my journey as well. Is like, you need someone to kind of chat, to walk you through those moments, because the mind is a mad thing. Is like, you go back into the depths of like, oh, the chronic pain, I'm not going to get over this, and you can spiral, like, you can spiral down if you're not, you know, zooming out, like you're saying.
And I have had a couple of flare-ups since then, but they weren't as bad, I'd say, just purely because I had that reference point and I knew what to expect and how to manage it then. Going forward. So that was definitely a pivotal point on the journey.
And I think even like, just other things popping into my head, like, it's even on Instagram, you know, this isn't clickable stuff, you know. Oh, I had a client who had a flare up or a bad pain, and you know, it's more like, and obviously I'll put up too the great client testimonials, etc. But like, well, the point here is, once you understand something and you know to expect it, it takes most of the impact of it away. You know, a simple example, I remember Jocko saying it on his podcast, if I somehow got to where you are there in Australia and I jumped out and gave you a fright, scare the shit out of you, what if someone said, oh, actually Mark's probably is there around the corner, would it have much of an impact? No. Why? Because you're aware of it. So like, when we're just aware, as you said there, even for clients now in the program, we'll have this chat. It's like, look, explain my situation. Others, like, at some stage, as we're saying, progress isn't linear. There'll be some big roadblock or whatever. That's normal. It's not something to be afraid of. It doesn't mean the program doesn't work or whatever. That really takes away the impact of it once these things are happening. Yeah, cool. So Jesus, we've gone much longer, but we'll motor on. The other one then you had in the anti-fragile mindset section was attitude and approach determines progress. So what do you want to say about that one?
Very simple analogy that you gave me as well is attitude is your fuel and the approach is the GPS. So if you have one of those, but you don't have the other, you're not going to get to where you want to be. If you don't have a good attitude, but you have a really good approach, you have the perfect program for you, which they're probably that doesn't exist. But say hypothetically, if you did, if you don't have the attitude that you can actually make a change, a long-lasting change to your body, then that approach is going to get you nowhere. And similarly, if you have the attitude, but you don't have a good approach, say you're doing random exercises off Instagram or YouTube, and you have no structure to your training, or you're using passive modalities all the time, that's only giving you a short-term benefit. It's not making a long-lasting change, then you're not going to make progress, or a lot of it at least.
And I made that one because I try to think. I think that'll get people off the roundabout, the roundabout of the injuries and average progress. Like, if you know that, at least you have your attitude, you have your approach. Then once you get to a stage where you have a good attitude, where you're like, "Fuck this, I'm not going to settle for it. I want to overcome it." You wouldn't try the same approach for years. That's really why I made that one, because that's what I did. I kept trying the same things for 10 years, like same kind of treatments and stuff, thinking, oh, then I don't even know what I wasn't really thinking. That's, I guess, the problem of, like, the next guy will do it differently. I don't really know what I was thinking, to be honest. But yeah, so that'll really help you if you look, think of the attitude, think of the approach, and, like, come up with your own kind of barriers around it. Like, I would say, like, 3 months. If you're doing something for 3 months, not seeing, like, small gains, consistent progress in a certain direction. Yeah, look, a few ups and downs, whatever, but, like, consistent progress when you zoom out, then it's not really working, is it? It's Einstein's definition of insanity, like trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, which I'd say everyone in chronic pain has done. If we all want the fix, I wanted the fix too. I literally looked for it everywhere, but then I realized, shit, there is
There
no
is no.
fix. So I guess, yeah. That doesn't order way out. But
On the attitude, or sorry, on the approach as well, one thing I'll say there is just, it might sound quite blunt, but the quickest way there is to find someone who has done it before, has gotten results with other people, and just pay them to get you there. Like, that's literally the easiest way to do it, and just put in the work. Like, that's exactly what I did. I was stuck on that roundabout of injuries and pain for God knows how many years. Like, I don't even know. And I found you. I knew you had results with other people, and I paid you to get me there, and I did get there. So, that's a big part of the approach is actually, chasing the results is a big thing.
Yeah,
Follow the
like,
results is what you say, I think.
sorry, yeah, followed it. That's it. Like, I
Yeah,
still
follow the
remember,
results, yeah.
yeah, that was the approach I took. Same as you to me. I was like, kind of realized anyone in my life, well, no, actually, I kind of realized money is just given in exchange for value. And then I was like, where am I spending all my money? And then, as I think I did a post on it, actually, it was probably one of my most popular posts ever when you actually talk about stuff that isn't related to fitness, but that I spent 10K, I probably spent like 10,000 on alcohol nights out, like between 18 and 23 or something. Like, that's only 30 something euros a week. Like, most people in Ireland would have done that kind of stuff when you really add it up. And then it was like, do I value fun at 23 when, like, I can't even play a sport anymore? It's like, no. Like, I value physical freedom. That's the kind of word I could come up with. Like, I value my body, I want to do things that I love. And that's when I was like, okay, if I value it, I put the money there. And then, as you said, just find someone who can do what I want, has client results, pay them. And as you know, because we've talked a lot, like, I've done that for mobility, strength, business, mind, like, self-awareness. I've had like six, seven coaches, in the last kind of 6 years. So yeah, that's, look, for anything in life, as you said, follow the results. Just so, like, that's the thing that's empowering. Someone out there has the results you want. Like this big problem, you're like, oh, I can't overcome it. Someone out there has already done it and have a little roadmap of how to get there, you know. So it's just to find them and, as you say, pay them and they'll show you the way. We'll go last one then. So on the, so we covered, yeah, the resilient body, anti-fragile mindset, authentic life was the last one. So this is just about trying to put the program and integrate it into your own life. Because look, I've worked with, you know, people traveling like you, worked with people in other countries, you know, worked with managers in big companies with three kids, you know, worked with teenagers, like all this different, like we all have different lifestyles, we all have different responsibilities and everything. And a big illusion is, you know, the time illusion of like, oh, you know, I've had chronic pain for 10 years, but like I don't have time. I don't think I have time to commit to this because I have kids, etc. So the thing you want to talk about there was like the busy weeks and how to manage them. So yeah, and obviously you were traveling to Asia as well, which yeah, obviously you think I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do the program there. So yeah, what did you want to tell us about that around those kind of busy weeks and managing us even when you're abroad?
Yeah. With traveling, like I was sort of anxious about it and apprehensive because I wasn't sure if I could make that much progress when I'm also trying to see the world.
First world problems, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, but it's totally possible. Like the program can be tailored to you. There's endless amounts of variations to exercises. You can have weights, use them in a gym if you have access to a gym for a couple of days, or else you can just use the bodyweight versions and adjust your sets and reps or your tempo, etc. Or switch up the program altogether depending on how you're feeling. So it's totally possible if you are traveling. I know there's people who've done it before and there will be people who do it again, you know. And the busy weeks and how to management, like how to manage them, I guess it comes back to time versus energy. Like on time first, like there is time to get it done. Like you can have a non-negotiable movement routine. Like you give the daily movements to every client, I think. There's no excuse not to get them done, really. You can get them done in an airport while you're queuing for a bus, first thing when you get out of bed in the morning. I'm helping someone at the minute and he loves doing it in airports even though he gets a few looks. But yeah, there's always time to do something and make a little bit of progress, and that's going to compound over days and weeks, you know. And then the energy management, I kind of talked about that before, but just trying to schedule, if you do have a really busy week, pick times of the day or of the week that you have the most energy, and that you're fueled to perform well in your routine or in your program, and do your program there. I kind of explained that already. But it's totally possible no matter what your circumstances are. Like there's people who are way busier than you who are still getting it done. There's when it comes down to it, like you will try and find excuses, and I still do that, and it's a constant battle with yourself really, to actually do something that will benefit the future you. But when it comes down to it, there is no excuse to actually do it, because it is your physical freedom that you're trying to regain, and I don't think there's much more important things to you than that, you know.
It's not the most important thing until it's the only important thing, you know. It's
exactly,
but look, it's same as then, isn't it? You know, I don't care about my eyesight because I've like 20/20 vision since I was a kid. I'm sure, you know, if I was wearing glasses or whatever, it'd be more important to me.
Yeah, look,
once you get to that stage, you lose physical freedom, you have chronic pain, it becomes the most important thing. And yeah, the thing that stuck with me on my journey was the teeth analogy. That's what got me when I think of, oh, I don't have time. And then it's like, when was the last time you didn't brush your teeth because you were too busy? And it's like, oh, no, I do that every day for a few minutes. Like, and then the question of like, would you rather have pearly white teeth at 50? Not able to do what you want, or like have physical freedom and you have dentures? Everyone's like, physical freedom. I'm like, so what your words are saying, but your actions are putting you towards the healthy teeth. So it's just, It's just that's like habits ingrained in us from society, but we can change that and put that towards the body. That's literally what we're doing there with the daily movements, which changed my life because I'm like, there is no excuse. It's like, well, if the time was an issue, I wouldn't be brushing my teeth every day, but I'm doing that every day. Like, so that's the one that got me with this. And yeah, and then to kind of wrap up, so just as you were saying there, now after all this, you know, coming through your own physical freedom journey, which people have seen is not. It's not easy. It wasn't, you know, a quick fix or anything. Like, it's the long-term process. We have to learn and go through the ups and downs and keep working on it. But now out to the other end that you're starting your own coaching journey now because obviously it's changed your own life and you got so into it. So yeah, just tell us about that. Obviously you're helping people now, but how, as we chatted about before the call, we're like, I thought it was halfway through the program that you were like, yeah, I want to help people with this and whatever. But then we see from the very start, you actually mentioned you might want to help people when you were starting. So yeah, so talk to us about that. How did it go from just doing a, you know, regaining your own physical freedom to helping other people with it?
In the assessment form you gave me at the very start, I remember filling it out. I actually forgot that I said this, that I'm looking forward to learning more about the body because I already had researched a lot myself. And obviously, like, I don't know, do we want to get into talk about different movement systems and stuff, but I looked into a few of them. So I was obviously eager to learn more so I could fix myself. And I was thinking, if I can fix myself, I'll surely learn some principles and education along the way that would benefit others. So yeah, then from working with you and seeing how passionate you are about it, I think I fed off that and was like thinking about it all along when I was traveling. And I remember we were in Patagonia and I was sitting on a bus and I was kind of thinking, this is actually, I was messaging you at the time, and this is actually something that I want to pursue long term. So I kind of made the decision then that I would go all in on it, you know. So since then, like, I've kind of obviously learned an awful lot from you, and you've had a big influence on my thought process around movement and pain. And then I started learning from others. So I have learned an awful lot from David Gray. I think I've bought nearly all his programs. I haven't finished them all because I kind of jumped from one to the other and I'm trying to learn as much as I can all at once, which is probably not a good thing. But yeah, I've taken like little pieces from his programs as well and kind of joined them with what I learned from you. And when I came back from traveling, actually, I think one of the first things I did was the FRC course, which I learned a lot from it. But I think I'm not sure if I'll use an awful lot of the principles from that course. It gave me a lot of confidence that like change is possible and like you're not broken basically, and there is the coaches there are very passionate. I think it was Hunter that did I can't think of his full name, but
Is it Hunter? I was gonna say Hunter Fitness,
Hunt.
that's not his name. Hunter Cook,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's
Hunter,
just
yeah. I never met
Cook.
him,
Yeah,
but he's
it's
the guy
just
who does
Hunter Fitness. Yeah.
the mad movement challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, he has like crazy range of motion and
Yeah, he's
like
nuts.
he kind of, yeah, he's a bit nuts. But he's also really passionate about it. And I'll obviously take some stuff from it. Like, I think the CARS exercises are very valuable to get your joint moving, and that's what you use in the daily movement practice. And then yeah, I learned an awful lot from David Gray and then looked into Gary Ward. He's big into the foot. I have his foot wedges over there. I'm looking at him. And yeah, David Gray's stuff is kind of derived from that a little bit. So yeah, I'm like massively looking into the foot at the minute and helping a few clients with that as well, and they're seeing good results already, so that's cool to see. And then I said I kind of want to go a bit more official about it, so I signed up to the strength and conditioning course, and I'm just finishing that in the next few weeks. finishing up assignments for that and learned an awful lot through that as well. So like all that together, I think I've learned enough to help other people. So while I was traveling, I kind of started a post on Instagram sporadically, and it was a bit nerve-wracking at first, but then I kind of got into a routine and I was posting more often and getting some messages from friends and people who I haven't talked to for a long time. They were kind of interested in what I was doing. And I've recently kind of signed up a few extra people. So I think I'm working with like close to 10 people now. And yeah, they all have different movement limitations or problems that we're trying to overcome. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it, actually assessing them and putting a program together, sharing some of the education that I've gotten from you and from others. And yeah, it's going really well so far. Delighted with it, actually. And yeah, really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's unreal, isn't it? It's what comes into my mind there when I'm hearing all that is like, it's the kind of the Bruce Lee approach, isn't it? That's what I try to do as well, is like,
yeah,
you know, you add whatever is useful from all these people you're learning, like you throw out the little bits that like you don't think is going to be useful, and then you put your own unique spin on it, obviously. And and that's, you know, we obviously would have had these chats beforehand, but that's all any coach does, you know. Like, I used to think that as well. Oh, I'm using this person's exercise, or I'm using this person's education. I'm like, where do you think they got it? They got it from their coach. Where do you think they got it? They got it from, like, obviously people will have original thoughts, which that's the kind of putting your own spin on it, but it's those original thoughts are usually combining other people's thoughts together, you know. So so yeah, that's great. Like, you're learning from everyone and picking up whatever's useful and passing it on. And the second thing that comes to mind is, because I used to have it, I remember you had it as well when we chatted about this, is that anyone, obviously anyone wants to be a coach and helping people with the body, but for anything else as well, is that you don't need to know everything before you help one person. Do you know what I mean? That was the thing that really stuck with me, because I, you know, struggle with perfectionism and those type of things. And I was saying that to you of like, I think it was only when you just learned from me and then you were going to like learn from David Gray and you were doing this course and that. I think it was the conversation of like, when will I actually start helping people or whatever. I was like, oh, and you could have done that 6 months ago. You know, of like, you know, you already know so much more than the average person. The average person, though, barely, the average person is foam rolling and going to the chiropractor once every 6 months thinking they're going to regain physical freedom, you know. So like, that's just, I try to instill that in all and even in myself still, you know, at all stages of like, you already know more than enough to help 99% people, you know. And obviously, Jesus, keep learning and growing all the way through, but it really just helps kind of get rid of the barriers, doesn't it? Like, that's why obviously friends, family and stuff reaching out to you at the start, like, I'm sure they're listening to you talk and being like, oh, no, so much about the body, where you're thinking like, Jesus, I'm just getting started, like, is that how you find it? Like, that's what I remember thinking when I was
it's just the hardest part was starting. I remember, like, we were in Koh Lanta in Thailand when I put my first post up, and I was saying to Adele, like, will I post or will I won't, or what are people going to think? But it doesn't really matter what people are going to think. Like, if you just have to do what you think is right yourself. And you're not going to be an expert. I don't think anyone considers themselves to be an expert. And even the David Grays or Gary Wards of this world probably still have some imposter syndrome. And like, their idea of a movement philosophy might change in a couple of years time. Like, nobody has it dialed in 100% and know exactly what they're about. They're just trying to do their best day to day with the information they have and with the opinion they have based on that information. So and their experience. So yeah, like, the hardest part was starting, but now that I've started and I'm kind of building up a client base and I'm learning what's working and what's not. Learning by doing really is the best way to go about it. So yeah, if there is, like, I'm only at the start of my journey, but if there is other people listening to this and they're thinking about doing something similar, then just go for it and see how it goes, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Like, what have you got to lose, really? Or that's obviously the way we're similar on that, of like, you have to live with yourself inside your own head, you know. You don't have to live with these other people who might be saying, oh, who's he to do that, or you shouldn't do it. It's like,
yeah,
You know, gain your own self-respect. That's how I think. Like, look, do what you want to do, and you'll be happy then at the end of the day. So, yeah, that was
One
all
line
right.
that sticks out, one line you told me, I think you said it in passing one day, it was, who is anyone to be anything? And that's always stuck with me, and I always think about it, even if I'm putting up a post that like I'm not sure how it'll be received or if people will understand what I'm saying. I always think of that, and like there's no reason why I can't be one of the best coaches out there, you know. So yeah, that saying, like I know you said it in passing, and I remember telling you, like you said that to me, and you were like surprised.
I think you said that to me,
But
and I was
I
like, "That's
always
a
come
great
back
line."
to
Yeah, I was like, "Who said that?" And you're like, "You did." I was like, "Did
it.
I?" Yes,
Yeah.
totally.
But
But
it's totally true. It's totally true.
you know, it was probably yeah. Obviously, if I get in different moods and stuff, it was probably like more like "fuck this." It's like, "Who's fucking anyone to do anything?" And I probably just said that back to you, but yeah, probably more saying it to myself
Yeah.
as well. I, ever since you said it back to me, funny enough, I think of that line sometimes now. So
Yeah.
it's true. Cool, that was unreal. So look, Jesus, we're actually an hour and a half there. Yeah, we'll plug it there. Is there anything else? Anything else? Let's see. Like, look, anything you want to say to younger Owen if you saw Owen, you know, just before he's starting his journey, or else if there's anything else maybe that you want to talk about that I didn't maybe ask you there. Yeah, anything else to kind of close?
Gosh, I'm not sure.
And maybe there isn't. Like, we've covered more than enough, but I just
Yeah.
wanted to give you a chance. If I didn't ask you something, maybe we agreed to talk about renting, or I mean, I think we covered everything, but yeah, any if you've any final words or anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like if I was to talk to myself, my the version of myself 3 years ago, I'd just say keep going, like just keep going. You're gonna get there eventually. And there will be ups and downs, but you're going to make progress no matter what, like, so just keep going. That's it.
There you go. So that was Owen's journey. Just watched it back there. So I'm pumped now after, you know, hearing him talk through his experience. So hopefully that was useful. Hopefully you got some insight there on what it actually takes to get back your physical freedom. As you've heard from Owen, he's, you know, done the healthcare route, not really got progress, thought he might be broken, might be something to do with his body. But as you can see, it's just the education. Like, we really need the education and understanding of, yeah, what the journey takes, just like he brought us through there. So like that's really what coaches do. Like, I've had so many coaches myself, but it's bringing people from disempowered to empowered. Like, I'm just, as you can see from that, I was just the coach, like the facilitator on Owen's journey. I can't walk the path for him. I can only show him the way. So same for every client. So you have to take ownership of your own body. As you can see now, you can't keep outsourcing your body to these experts. You know, even with me, if you come here thinking I'm some expert and you're just going to sign up and then I'm going to fix you, it's not going to work. So it really is all about taking back ownership of the only body you'll ever have. Start to learn about it. Start to build a relationship, as Owen said, and learn more about it with me as the coach and facilitator. And that's what it's going to take long term. You know, you could think of it simple analogies like we have in the podcast episode and in the program. Lots of analogies are very useful to learn things quickly, but if you keep outsourcing your body to the experts, thinking you're going to get back physical freedom, it's like you want to learn how to drive a car, but you don't want to do any driving lessons. You're letting other people do the driving lessons. You're sitting in the back seat. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, yeah, really good for you to see that of what it takes from Owen and the ups and downs and all the things he's learned along the way. And you can see how far you can take it, that it's up to you. Like, seeing him go from, you know, thinking he's broken with chronic back pain, etc., not being able to overcome it, to overcoming and getting his physical freedom back, to now going on and coaching other people to do that as well. So imagine how empowering that is, like coming from this. That's my story, just whatever, now 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I don't know. So the same thing, that's how I got here as well. So you can see that, yeah, it's all about education, and the education is what empowers you. And if you just want to go from A to D, overcoming chronic pain or whatever, or you want to go all the way and start helping other people, like, it really is up to you. And the other thing, yeah, popped into my head just watching Owen back there. Obviously, I know Owen a long time now, like over a year. Just, yeah, how much more confident he is. Like, he would be more like me. We were more like kind of introverted types, we'll say. And yeah, even seeing that in his testimonial, he said like how much more confident he is now. And yeah, hearing him speak about everything there, and you know, getting on the coaching journey, looking forward to it, being excited by it. And as he said, which was actually a line for me that I don't even remember saying, but like, who is anyone to do anything? And yeah, just really inspiring watching all that back. And the learning there, which one of my coaches told me, was the leader is the limiter. And what that really means is everyone in life is going to be limited by who is leading them. And the truth of it is, we're all actually leaders. Because I still remember the shy, embarrassed younger me, you know, up to my early 20s, where I'd never really say what I think and always, yeah, think I've nothing to offer. That's where that would have came from. Like, who is anyone to do anything? Because I thought I had nothing to offer anyone. And then even watching that back there, just being like, Jesus, like, you can see what's possible just when you lead and you just start doing the things that you want to do, help people in your own way, like how that can snowball and the small gains add up. You know, I've said before, like, keep throwing pebbles. That's the way things are. Just keep putting the stuff that's in your heart out there, the things that you want to do, and you'll see how it'll inspire people. And that's what I see there with Owen as well. And he's going on now doing that for other people too. So yeah, that's what popped into my head again, which I learned along my journey of like, the leader is the limiter and we're all leaders, whether you want to be or not. Like, whoever's around you, they're going to be looking at you and you're going to be leading them in some way, even if you're not aware of it. So yeah, we all have a lot more power than we think. Even, you know, Owen's story is a great example of that. As I said, coming from, you know, chronic pain, thinking he's broken, can't do anything about it, all the way up to, you know, coaching and inspiring people now to regain physical freedom. So yeah, I enjoyed it. Owen did too. We had a bit of a chat after. Hopefully you did. Hopefully you got something from it. So yeah, so we'll leave it there. So don't settle. Live true to yourself, and we'll talk to you next week.